Picture this. A summer morning at a small airport in the Rockies. Field elevation is just over 5,000 feet above sea level. The temperature on the ramp is 92 degrees Fahrenheit. You've done this route before. The airplane is a Cessna 172, as familiar to you as your own living room. You brief your passenger, load the bags, and line up on the runway. The throttle goes to the wall, the airplane accelerates and accelerates, and it's still accelerating. Somewhere around the two-thirds point on the pavement, you realize the airspeed isn't building the way it should. The runway end is coming up fast. The trees beyond it are not small trees. I'm Pattern on Traffic. Pattern here on Radio Hangar. And today, I want to talk about the performance factor that kills more pilots than almost anything else. Not because it's complicated, because it's invisible, density, altitude. Those two words should be part of every pre-flight briefing, every single time. Quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot instrument commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. Now. Density, altitude. Here's what it is in plain language. Your aircraft doesn't know what your altimeter reads. It doesn't care about sea level. It cares about the air it's flying through. Specifically, it cares about the density of that air. How many air molecules are passing over the wing, through the engine intake, and past the prop blades with each revolution. The thinner the air, the harder the airplane has to work for everything. Lift, thrust, climb, all of it degrades. Density altitude is pressure altitude corrected for temperature. When the air is cold and dense, density altitude is lower than your indicated altitude, and the airplane performs better than the charts. Predict for that elevation. When the air is hot and thin, density altitude is higher than your indicated altitude, and the airplane performs worse, sometimes significantly worse. The number to burn into your memory is this. Density altitude increases roughly 1,000 feet for every 10 degrees Celsius above the standard temperature at a given elevation. Standard temperature at sea level is 15 degrees Celsius. The standard lapse rate drops that by approximately 2 degrees Celsius for every 1,000 feet you climb. Let's walk through this together with a real example. You're at that mountain airport. Field elevation is 5,000 feet. The temperature is 35 degrees Celsius, which is about 95 Fahrenheit. Standard temperature at 5,000 feet would be roughly 5 degrees Celsius. Your actual temperature is 30 degrees above standard. At 1,000 feet of density altitude penalty per 10 degrees above standard, you're looking at a 3,000-foot correction on top of your field elevation. Your airport at 5,000 feet is now performing like it sits at 8,000 feet above sea level. Your Cessna 172, which has a service ceiling somewhere around 14,000 feet, is already operating at more than half of that ceiling before the wheels leave the ground. And that's not an extreme scenario. That's a normal summer day at a moderate elevation airport in the American West. It happens all the time. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The performance charts in your pilot operating handbook are calculated at standard atmospheric conditions. Every number in there, ground roll, distance to clear a 50-foot obstacle climb rate, assumes the atmosphere is cooperating. The moment temperature deviates from standard, those numbers start lying to you. The good news is the charts also include correction tables for non-standard conditions. They're in there. Most students know they exist. Fewer students actually use them correctly when it matters. Here's the practical process. Before you start the engine, especially at a high-elevation airport in warm weather, you need three numbers: field elevation, current altimeter setting, and outside air temperature. With field elevation and altimeter setting, you can calculate pressure altitude. Take the difference between 29.92 inches of mercury and your current altimeter setting. For every tenth of an inch of difference, add or subtract 100 feet from the field elevation. That gives you pressure altitude. Then correct that pressure altitude for the temperature deviation from standard, and you have density altitude. Or, and I say this with full respect for the math, use the density altitude calculator on your E6B, the app on your tablet, or the density altitude function built into most modern avionics. The calculation exists in plenty of forms. Use the one you will actually use consistently, every time, before every departure in marginal conditions. What you're looking for is a number, and once you have that number, you take it to the performance charts in the back of your pilot operating handbook. Let me tell you what those charts actually tell you, because students often don't read them as carefully as they should. The takeoff distance chart has a matrix. pressure altitude on one axis, temperature on the other. The intersection gives you ground roll distance and total distance to clear a 50-foot obstacle. If your runway is shorter than either of those numbers, the conversation ends right there. You don't go. But here is where pilots get into trouble. They find the pressure altitude column, find the temperature row, and they think they are done. They are not done. There are notes at the bottom of those charts. Notes about headwind and tailwind corrections. Notes about runway slope. Notes about surface condition. Paved versus grass. Hard and dry versus soft. Each of those factors adds to or subtracts from the charted number. And most critically, those charts are calculated for a new aircraft in factory condition, flown by a pilot, executing a textbook technique. Your aircraft has some hours on it. The conditions may not be perfectly aligned. Your technique under real-world pressure may not be identical to what the test pilot did in California. The National Transportation Safety Board consistently recommends conservative buffers beyond charted performance, especially in mountain environments. Some experienced mountain instructors say 50%. Some say double the charted distance if you're new to high-altitude operations. Know your aircraft, know your margins, and don't let the fact that you've done it before substitute for running the actual numbers today. Now, let me talk about the abort decision, because this is the piece that doesn't get enough classroom time. Before you line up at a high-elevation airport on a hot day, you should have a specific point on the runway in mind. A marking, a taxiway intersection, a clearly identifiable reference. If I have not reached rotation speed by that point, I am pulling power and stopping. Not hoping the speed builds in the last third. Not pushing the nose down a little harder to squeeze more speed out. Stopping. A significant number of density altitude accidents happen not because the pilot didn't know about density altitude, but because they committed past their abort point. The airplane accelerated on the roll. It got off the ground briefly. It couldn't climb, and by then the trees were already filling the windshield. Set the abort point before you line up, commit to it, then honor it if you reach it without the numbers. Here's something that took me a while to fully understand about the overconfidence factor. Your memory of a previous flight is not reliable performance data. You remember that the takeoff was fine. You probably don't remember that the temperature was 4 degrees cooler, or that there was a light headwind that day, or that you had 300 feet of runway to spare. Memory smooths over the details. Density altitude does not. Climb performance is the second piece that students sometimes underestimate. Getting off the runway is only half the problem. At high density altitude, climb rate degrades significantly. A Cessna 172 with a published best rate of climb of around 700 feet per minute at sea level may produce 300 to 400 feet per minute at high density altitude. Less if you're at or near maximum gross weight. Less if you have a soft headwind that decided to become a slight tailwind. Now picture a typical mountain departure environment. There's a ridge at 10,000 feet, roughly 5 miles from the airport, which sits at 8,000 feet field elevation. You have 2,000 feet to gain, in 5 miles, at 300 feet per minute, with terrain that does not care about your schedule. This is where density altitude thinking has to go beyond the calculation and become actual route planning. Not just can I get off the ground, but can I clear the terrain between the runway and my first waypoint? The Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate require that you demonstrate the ability to use the Pilot Operating Handbook to determine aircraft performance considering altitude, temperature, weight, wind, and runway surface. The examiner is looking for exactly this level of thinking, not just finding the number on the chart. The complete operational picture. Whether you'd make the same decision in August at noon that you'd make in May at 7 in the morning. If you're in checkride prep and your oral includes a performance scenario at a mountain airport, walk the examiner through all of it. The density altitude calculation. The chart lookup. The abort point on departure. The climb gradient needed to clear terrain. The weight and balance. The go or no-go decision and your reasoning behind it. That complete process is what separates a private pilot candidate who is actually ready from one who just memorized the procedure. Let me also spend a minute on what density altitude does to your engine specifically, because it's not just the wings that suffer. Normally aspirated piston engines breathe air. They mix that air with fuel in a carburetor or fuel injection system calibrated for a specific ratio at standard conditions. At high density altitude, the same volume of air contains fewer air molecules. If you don't adjust the mixture, the engine runs excessively rich. A rich mixture at high density altitude produces less power, runs rough, and in some situations cannot produce enough thrust for a meaningful climb rate. On a hot day at a high-elevation airport, you may need to lean the mixture aggressively before departure. Many manufacturers specifically recommend leaning for takeoff at field elevations above 3,000 feet. Read your pilot operating handbook. The guidance is specific to your aircraft. One thing that surprises some students, if you run the engine rich on the ground and then push the throttle to full quickly, you can momentarily flood the system right when you need maximum power. Leaning properly before adding full power at high altitude is not an afterthought, it is part of the departure procedure. The other side of this is the descent back into a high elevation airport. As you descend from cruise altitude, the air gets denser. Your mixture setting at cruise will be too lean for the thicker air at lower altitude. Enrich progressively as you descend, and be aware of how mixture affects both performance and engine health during that transition. Now, the question that always comes up with this topic is, how do I know when I should simply not go? There is no single bright line number that applies to every airplane in every situation. What there is a decision process. Start with your specific aircraft's pilot operating handbook. Know the density altitude range, where your airplane produces useful climb performance. Some light trainers are effectively limited to around 8,000 feet density altitude for practical operations. Know your machine? Then look at the terrain on your route. Are you able to clear everything between you and your destination with a conservative margin? Do you have terrain awareness tools in the cockpit? Is there a published departure procedure, and are you current enough to execute it if the climb rate surprises you? Then look at yourself honestly. Are you rested? Are you current in this type of flying? Have you flown in and out of mountain airports regularly? Or is this new territory? Mountain flying training is a legitimate specialty. The Recreational Aviation Foundation offers specific backcountry and mountain flying clinics. Various CFIs who specialize in high elevation operations teach this material as a dedicated course. If mountain airports are going to be a regular part of your flying, that training is worth seeking out intentionally. Don't build the curriculum incrementally by pushing further into terrain with less margin each time. The fundamental truth about density altitude is this. It is not a mystery, it is math. It is knowable before you ever release the parking brake. The information is available. The tools exist. The pilot operating handbook gives you everything you need to answer the question before you go. The accidents that end up in the NTSB database are rarely the result of ignorance. They are usually the result of a pilot who knew about density altitude, ran approximate numbers, decided the margin was close enough, and then ran out of runway, or ran out of climb rate, before running out of good intentions. Respect what the numbers tell you. Set the abort point before you roll. And if the charts say the margin isn't there, believe them. Sources for this one include the Aeronautical Information Manual, the NTSB Accident Study Database, and the pilot operating handbooks published by Cessna and Piper. Everything I covered today is in the reference material that came with your airplane and your certificate. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Fly the numbers.